Here comes Rydell Jones. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Rydell all the way outside to Watford. Three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game!
I think Peyton's going to watch. Intercepted! Colts are going to the Super Bowl.
Here comes George, got the step and scuffs one move and counts in the foul. He beat LeBron James.
Steps in. Plus pass. And they're saying he is in.
NFL playoffs are on. What a time to be alive, y'all. Jacksonville is taking it to Kansas City right now. I'm actually recording this show while that game is going on. KC just scored. They go up 27-17 on the Jacksonville Jaguars. But honestly, the Jags have put up better of a fight than I thought they were going to. I mean, the Chiefs' home field advantage is unbelievable. I think that some of the Jags' younger guys would have gotten rattled, but they're playing fine right now. However, I got to talk about the Pacers today because I think that a lot of Pacer fans and just NBA fans in general are undervaluing the value of Tyrese Haliburton to this ball club. Pacers have 6 straight losses. They lost their 6th game last night. I don't even know how many we lost by. I turned it off. I was done watching it. I wasn't even going to try to watch this comeback because I knew that what we had personnel-wise, there was no chance. A lot of their opponents right now are sitting there good guys because they know that they can afford it because the Pacers don't have Tyrese Haliburton. For example, Jokic sat out last night. The Suns right now have Chris Paul. I'm sure that he would be okay to play, but I think they're kind of just making it more cautionary than what it would be if it was a playoff game or something. They're struggling, though. What is up, everybody? And welcome back to DW Sports. I am your host, Will Feller, and today is all about the Indiana Pacers. I think Tyrese Haliburton is coming back soon, but that is going to be what we're going to discuss when we come back from the break. Follow our social medias and sub to our YouTube, y'all. A lot, over 70% of our people that watch our YouTube videos are not subscribed. Make sure you're keeping up with the show, and please subscribe and hit the bell. I love the support you guys have been showing me lately, so keep that coming. Follow our social media as well. Our Instagram and Twitter is at DW Sports with 2 S's on the end. Our TikTok and Snapchat is at DW underscore sports. Our email is dwsportsshow@gmail.com. And our YouTube is DW Sports. Go sub to that, man. And before you call me negative, let's be honest. I'm positive about a lot of things. I'm going to talk about some positives as the Pacers, but one, we haven't talked about them for a while, and two, there's something that I need to address to the NBA world about Tyrese Haliburton. So that's why we're talking about the Pacers. I'll be right back. Go do your deeds on the break by following our socials and subbing to our YouTube. See you guys in a sec. First of all, one thing I want to talk about is get rid of fan voting for the All-Star game. Get rid of it completely. I don't want to see another All-Star game where fan voting is here, because what it is it's a popularity contest by which fan base has the most fans. Which fan base has the most fans? And that's the guys that are going to get voted to the All-Star game. I mean, for the love of God, we have Kevon Looney, and no disrespect to Kevon Looney. He's a starter in the NBA. If he went out and played anywhere else besides the NBA, he'd cook everybody in that league. But in the NBA, Kevon Looney is not an All-Star. But the Golden State Warriors somehow have all 5 of their starters in the top 10 of All-Star voting. Why? Because they have the most fans. Derrick Rose, an All-Star? D. Rose, 2011 MVP. He was great back then, but now, since of his injuries and stuff, I wish he was still like that, but he's not. He should not be an all-star. But the Knicks have a lot of fans, so of course he's going to make it. See what I'm saying? Like, fan voting might be the stupidest thing the NBA has ever done in the All-Star game. Stupidest thing. Because what did they think was going to happen? Look at small market teams, like the Indiana Pacers, for example, or the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, I know they're good, and Ja Morant definitely deserves to be an All-Star this year, but they're small market. Look at, the Orlando Magic. Paolo Banchero probably deserves to be an All-Star, definitely over Kevon Looney. But those fan bases have an automatic disadvantage over all the big ones like the Knicks and the Lakers and the Warriors and the Celtics because they're small market. They have so many less fans. If everybody that was a Laker fan was a Pacer fan that lived in Indiana, we would have so many more fans. Go to an Indiana Pacer game, the one game a year where they're playing the Los Angeles Lakers, and tell me there's not more Laker jerseys in Gainbridge Fieldhouse than there is Pacer jerseys. And you can go up to them and say, how was your flight from California? I'm sure you had a long flight. Oh, no, man, I live in Westfield. Then why are you a Laker fan? Well, like, why? See, bandwagons is also a thing that is one of my pet peeves in sports. Now, you can like whoever you want. But I am just so big on cheering for your hometown team that I hate it whenever people root for somebody that's either good or they root for somebody because of a certain player. And I know that's going to happen a lot when you have a good player, but it's so stupid. There are more Warrior, Laker, I would even just say more Warrior and Laker fans in the state of Indiana combined together than there are Pacer fans. And I'm dead serious. I know a lot of you guys don't live in the state of Indiana. Come to Indiana. Come to the one game a year where the Pacers play the Lakers and the Warriors. If you put those two fan bases together, the amount of people that like those two teams in the state of Indiana versus Pacer fans, there'd probably be more Laker-Warrior fans in Indiana. And I understand you're going to get that with winning championships. I'm going to understand that when you have LeBron James and Steph Curry on your franchise versus the Pacers really have nobody. But for me, like, it would hurt me to root for somebody else. I couldn't do it. I literally couldn't do it. It makes me feel dirty. Like, I don't understand how bandwagon fans can just go root for a good team and feel good about themselves. Because the teams that I cheer for, no matter if they're good or bad, I want to go through a process. It's always a process with the Pacers, the Colts, and IU. Like, they will get their time eventually, hopefully when I'm alive, hopefully. And they will win a championship someday. And I can never be a guy that last year I was a Warrior fan, or basically for the whole Dubs dynasty, I was a Warrior fan. And then before that, I was a Laker fan. And then before that, I was a Celtic. I mean, it's just, you just bandwagon hop teams that are good. That way you can say your teams have won a championship. And I couldn't emotionally attach myself to a team like that because I'm so emotionally attached to IU, the Pacers, and the Colts. I could not, no matter what happens, I couldn't separate myself from them. The only way I could separate myself, I guess, is if one of them moved, like relocated. But other than that, I would probably still be a fan of them. I cannot emotionally attach myself to the Warriors because they're good. I couldn't do it. I physically could not do it. And I don't know how some people do emotionally attach themselves to that. But my point is, the NBA needs to get rid of fan voting. Fan voting is horrendous. Some of these fans in the NBA don't even care about, you know, how this guy should be in the All-Star game for his first time. Or they don't look at any numbers, or they don't look at any context. They get on the NBA app and they vote for the starting lineup of their favorite NBA team. For example, the Golden State Warriors. And then they somehow get all five of their starters in the All-Star game. Kevon Looney is going to be taking a spot in the All-Star game over somebody like who's playing really well right now in the West. Not even who's playing really well. Somebody who's playing better in the West than Kevon Looney. Steven Adams. Steven Adams is better than Kevon Looney. He ain't getting any votes. Domantas Sabonis is getting votes, but he's getting less than Kevon Looney. Why? We've got, you know, Jabari Smith Jr., who is getting better and better by game. And I would honestly rather have Jabari Smith Jr. down low in the post right now than Kevon Looney, who's not getting any votes. Because Golden State Warrior fans just raid the NBA app. You get what I'm saying? Like, and my whole point of saying this is because Tyrese Haliburton is getting snubbed right now. He's eighth in the East for guards. And we're talking about a guy that averages 20 a game, and he's leading the league in assists per game. And you're telling me he's eighth? You're telling me he's one spot above Derrick Rose? Like, no, that's pitiful. That's idiotic. I don't care what anybody says. Let's run through the top seven guys and see if Tyrese Haliburton should be above them. Because I guarantee you he should be above at least two or three. Okay, so let's run through this list. First, on the third returns of East guards, we've got Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving 1,000% deserves to be in the top three. This dude, as Stephen A. Smith would say, is box office. Kyrie Irving should 100,000,000% be in over Tyrese Haliburton. I don't need to look at stats. I don't need to look at context. I know just by watching Kyrie Irving, he is physically a better basketball player than Tyrese Haliburton. He's been in the league longer, right? And you are going to get some of that bias popularity there when you are in the league longer. Tyrese Haliburton is only 22 years old, so he hasn't been in the league that long. But Kyrie Irving, most definitely. We got Donovan Mitchell. Yes. Yeah, I mean, do I really have to explain again? Yeah, Donovan Mitchell should be in. Recency bias can play a role in this and say, oh, he dropped 71 points. I'm going to vote him in the All-Star game just because of that. I could see 13-year-old kids doing that, right? Oh, 71, he's in the All-Star game. That could happen, but like, you know, Jamal Crawford is out here dropping 50, and was he ever really a top three guard in his conference? No. And I get 70 is a lot different from 50, but his game one did go to overtime, and two, he was feeling it, so he was just going to keep letting it fly. But Donovan Mitchell, yeah, he should be over Tyrese Haliburton. Then we've got Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, honestly, to me, is kind of tricky because Jaylen Brown, is he better than Tyrese Haliburton? Yeah. But when you look at the second best player on the Boston Celtics, like, he's not better than Jason Tatum, is he? Let's go ahead and look at Jaylen Brown's stats. Jaylen Brown this season, he's averaging 26, 7, 3, and 49.5% from the field. Averaging 27 a game, 7 boards. Yeah, he should be over Tyrese Haliburton. I didn't look at his stats before. I thought that he was maybe only averaging 22, 23. But now that I know he's basically averaging 27, he should be over it. He should be over Tyrese Haliburton. And if your team is better than the Pacers, like the Celtics are the best team in the league, you're going to get a guy like that. Because when your team's good, that means a player or two on the team is helping you guys become that good. So Jaylen Brown, yeah, I'm sorry that I almost disrespected you. That was uncalled for by me. Jaylen Brown should definitely be in. We got James Harden. Now, James Harden has been hurt sometimes for like 1 to 2 weeks in these past years. James Harden, I think, is more skilled than Tyrese Haliburton, but I think that he's only more skilled on the scoring aspect. James Harden is averaging 11 assists this year. But if you actually watch the games, I think that James Harden is a worse passer than Tyrese Haliburton. James Harden is out here passing to Joel Embiid in the post. He has good three-point shooters on the wing. It's like Tobias Harris, Shake Milton is coming along too. But 21 and 11 assists, averaging a double-double. Yeah. And I said Tyrese Haliburton's leading the league in assists. It's because he's played more games than Harden. So I think the way that the NBA counts the league leader in assists is how many games played. And I don't think Harden has met that requirement yet. I don't really care about that, to be honest, unless it's like, unless they've only played like 10 or so games, then I'm like, okay, yeah, they need to play more games. But Harden's played enough to where, yeah, I mean, he's an all-star. He's a scoring machine. Clearly, he can dish the rock, 11 assists a game, shooting 44% from the field. So definitely an all-star. So far, we're 4-4. All four guys, the top four guards in the East on the third return should, in fact, be over Tyrese Haliburton. We get to Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks. Now, this one is kind of interesting because it is the first guy on a team where their team is not necessarily that good. We've got Brooklyn, Cleveland, Boston, and Philly, who are all top five in the East. Atlanta is not. So that could play a factor on Trae Young's All-Star voting, because Trae Young is also a stud. 27 points a game, almost 10 assists. He should be over Tyrese Haliburton. He should. He should be over Tyrese Haliburton. 24 years old out of Oklahoma. The things that he does is 6'1". Absolutely phenomenal. He honestly didn't do much when I saw him play the Pacers. We played the Hawks three times, beat him twice, lost once. One of those times was without Haliburton. We only lost by like two. So if we had Tyrese, we would be up 3-0 on the season series and basically take it already. But Trae Young hasn't done much, surprisingly. But, I mean, yeah, Trae Young, all-star. I think that Tyrese is going to be on his level in a few years. Went two or three more years, Tyrese will be 24, 25. So give him a few more years, and yeah, I think that Tyrese will be on Trae Young's level. But the fact, before we go through the nitty-gritty of this list, Pacers lost six in a row, and Tyrese Haliburton, if you look at the context, is really why I think he should be above some of these guys in the All-Star game. Because winning matters at the end of the day. And when the Pacers are losing six straight games without Tyrese Haliburton, they're getting blown out by most of the teams that they're playing in this six-game stretch. They play at Phoenix tonight, which is most likely going to be a blowout. When you look at the context of that, you're like, okay, yeah, Tyrese Haliburton should probably be more of an all-star than he's getting credit for. The Pacers look like they don't know how to play basketball besides a few guys. Miles Turner, who I think is going to sneak, if he keeps improving, I think he's going to sneak into one or two all-star games in his career at one point. And Benedict Mathurin is kind of out of control, but he's getting there. We're just a young team. And TJ McConnell in the starting lineup, he runs down the court like in 2 seconds, which is not how our offense should roll. Haliburton slows it down. He likes to kind of run a few sets, look for an open play, and McConnell just flies down the court and tries to get an open look, which is not how the Pacers roll at all. McConnell is just a very good bench point guard is how I would describe him. He's not a very good starting point guard at all. And as soon as we get Tyrese back, I guarantee you we're going to start winning games again. Stats don't mean anything with context. For all of you guys that want to go into sports or debate in sports or have a podcast where people come at you for your takes and whatnot, just know this. This is my biggest thing when it comes to an argument, especially arguing players. Stats don't mean anything without context. So, for example, who is the best NBA team of all time, just based off a record? Well, that would be the Golden State Warriors in 2015-16, I believe. They went 73-9, best record in NBA history, but they didn't win the finals. So stats would say that, yeah, the Warriors are the best team in NBA history. But you go to the 72-10 Bulls, who ended up winning the championship. So who really is the best team in NBA history? And maybe that's not a great example because that's one more loss, but the way that the Warriors were playing that year in that modern NBA, you know, a younger Steph Curry, a younger Klay Thompson versus more of a veteran Jordan and Pippen, I would say the Bulls are the best team in NBA history because they had that championship on top. So that's one example of stats don't mean anything without context. Bill Russell, here's a really good one. Bill Russell won MVP over Wilt Chamberlain one season. I don't know the exact year. I don't know how Bill Russell won MVP. Wilt Chamberlain was averaging 50. Wilt Chamberlain was averaging 50. And he didn't win MVP. How is that possible? Bill Russell should not have that MVP over Wilt Chamberlain. That is a fraudulent MVP. As you guys know, if you guys listen to the show, you guys know I love to defend Wilt Chamberlain because the league disrespected him, bro. Wilt Chamberlain is a top five player of all time. He averaged 50, and he didn't even win MVP. Stats don't mean anything without context. So, yeah, Wilt Chamberlain, they say that he didn't have the best NBA season of all time because he didn't win MVP, but he averaged 50. If he won MVP, what would we be saying? We'd probably be saying, oh, that's the best season in NBA history. Well, obviously, I mean, it's the same thing. He just didn't win MVP because the NBA doesn't know what they're talking about. And they gave it to Bill Russell. Because why? Because they were good. That's the only reason why Bill Russell won MVP was because they were a good basketball team. And that's why Bill Russell won MVP, plain and simple. Who also played with like 8 other All-Stars. So stats don't mean anything without context. Just remember that. And that's where I'm getting at with Tyrese Haliburton. And that's why I think that he is so underrated and why Pacer fans and just NBA fans in general Pacer fans love Tyrese Haliburton, but I still think that we are underappreciating him because as soon as he comes back, we'll be going back to, you know, becoming a good basketball team. You get what I'm saying? So let's get down to the nitty gritty. And by the way, this game is a great game. Chiefs-Jags, 17-27, 2 minutes to go. Jags failed to score in the red zone. Lawrence threw a pick. So Jags had a good season, but they got no timeouts. Chiefs are 3rd and 10. So GG to the Jags. But let's be real. The AFC South division winner wasn't going to go into Kansas City and beat them. No matter if it was the Colts, the Titans, or the Jags, or the Texans, nobody was going to beat them. Anyways. So right now, 5 of 5, DeMar DeRozan for the Chicago Bulls. This is where, and some of you guys may hate me for this and call me a biased Pacer fan, but I think that Tyrese Haliburton should be getting more votes than DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is averaging 26 points a game, 5 rebounds, and 4.9 assists, basically 5 assists a game, shooting 50% from the field. DeMar DeRozan is a better scorer than Tyrese Haliburton, and a better defender. But I would rather have Tyrese Haliburton on my team, and I'm not even talking about for the future. I'm just talking about right now, you get the rest of the season to play with DeMar DeRozan or Tyrese Haliburton. I'm picking Haliburton. Haliburton does so many more things well than DeMar DeRozan. I mean, sure, he averages 6 points less a game than DeMar, but he's basically doubling his assists. He's not shooting that much worse from the field at all. He makes his teams better. He's a lot better floor general than DeMar DeRozan, right? What's DeRozan? When DeRozan gets the ball, he's looking to score every time. I mean, that's what the dude does. He touches the ball. He's not looking to, you know, look for a wraparound pass at the top of the key for a three, or, you know, a sick behind the back pass to your big guy for a dunk down low. That's not what DeMar DeRozan does. He's a pure scorer. I think that Tyrese Haliburton has that factor of being a floor general and getting your teammates open and just overall becoming a better leader than DeMar DeRozan, because the Pacers are supposed to have a tank year. And we were 23-18 in a tank year. And we're still better than the Chicago Bulls record-wise with the losing record. The Bulls have LaVine and DeRozan. Who do we have? We have Haliburton and we have Miles Turner. And they aren't bad, but you would think that DeRozan and LaVine would eat them alive, right? No. So I think that Tyrese Haliburton, and it's very close, but I think that Tyrese Haliburton should have more all-star votes than DeMar DeRozan. I do. I truly do. Tyrese is 20 points a game, 10.2 assists a game, 4 rebounds, and 48% from the field shooting. So, I mean, doubling his assists, his rebounding is not that far off. He's only averaging one less rebound a game. Tyrese Haliburton is 6'5". DeRozan, I guess DeRozan's only 6'6". I thought he was taller than that. But DeRozan plays a forward, right, and averaging one more rebound a game. So I think that Haliburton should be averaging more votes. They're not averaging more, just getting more votes overall than DeMar DeRozan. Call me crazy, but I do. And then we got LaMelo Ball. We got LaMelo Ball, who's not bad. But Hornets are awful. The Charlotte Hornets are bad. LaMelo is averaging 23.5, 5.2 rebounds, 8 assists, and 40% from the field. And you're telling me that Tyrese Haliburton shouldn't be over him. A lot of you guys just like to look at scoring because you guys don't think that there's any other aspects to basketball than scoring. But 3.5 more points a game on the Charlotte Hornets, and you're the only guy that is a true threat to score the basketball every single time, averaging less assists, shooting way worse from the field. I mean, I don't know. If you think LaMelo Ball should be over Tyrese Haliburton, it's because you watched LaMelo when he was a kid, and you're salty that I'm saying that Haliburton should be over him. So, realistically, Tyrese should be 6th in the East returns. And then we got Derrick Rose, who should not even be in the top 10. And let me give some love to Darius Garland. Darius Garland getting less All-Star votes than Derrick Rose? Really? Darius Garland getting less All-Star votes than Derrick Rose is blasphemous. As a Pacer fan, I can sit up here in the studio and I can say that if you genuinely think that Derrick Rose should be an All-Star over Darius Garland, you're a fool. And you should permanently be banned from watching any NBA game on ESPN, ABC, TNT, NBA League Pass, Stream East, whatever you use, you should be permanently banned because you don't know ball, bro. Let's look at, for the fun of it, and not to harp on my man Derrick Rose, 2011 MVP, led the Bulls to a one seed, unfortunately led to LeBron. But Derrick Rose's stats. Let's look at old Derrick Rose's stats on the season, and we'll see if Derrick Rose deserves to be an All-Star. So, mind you, he is ninth in the East, Derrick Rose, and Darius Garland is 10th. And Darius Garland was also an All-Star last year. Derrick Rose, 5 points a game, less than 2 boards, less than 2 assists, and he's shooting less than 40% from the field. And he's getting more All-Star votes than Darius Garland, who, let's look at Darius Garland's stats. Mind you, Darius Garland is also a young guy who's going to tear up this league soon. 22 years old, just like Haliburton, averaging 21, 2.8 rebounds, 8 assists, basically 44% from the field. It's blasphemous, man. It's blasphemous. Anyway, Tyrese Halliburton is the MVP for the Pacers. Thank you guys for tuning into the show. Do you disagree or agree that Tyrese Halliburton should be sixth place in the All-Star voting in the East? I'll post polls on the social media below. Thank you guys for tuning in, everyone. Peace out. I'll see you guys tomorrow talking about the Colts. Peace out, y'all.